In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number three is upon us. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, and of course, Kevin Flesh from Flesh Law Firm with us as well. And we're talking about literally everything regarding COVID, the vaccine. What are your rights? What's an employer's rights? How does this work moving forward as you go into different stores, establishments, and so on? All right. I wanted to ask, as we are finishing out the last order, Charlie's got a question I'll give you as well. But yep. Here's a question that I already had on my list for you today. When it comes to employment, we just went through the employee relationship, that right. End of things. Now, I believe that changes when we start talking about subcontractors, which a lot of folks out there listening are.
Yep.
How does it work for a sub?
Yeah, so it's going to be the primary, the general contractor or the individual who's hiring you. You have a contract. I mean, most rational people in a business relationship, mm-hmm. especially with subcontractors, have a contract, a written agreement relating to all the terms as to what exactly is going to go on with regard to their relationship. And so the pandemic threw a wrench into those sorts of expectations, mm-hmm. but it still doesn't change the contract. I mean, that's the fun part about this analysis, is that we haven't lost our constitutional rights.
True.
We haven't lost our rights to contract with each other just because there's a pandemic, and we haven't lost the law. And so you go back to what was established.
So if the contract has nothing to do with the health and safety of other individuals you're working with, and all of a sudden the current person your contract is with, the company your contract yeah. is with, says you got to get vaccinated or you can no longer be... I'll no longer hire you as a right. sub. What do you do?
It's a new term of the contract, so there has to be. It's just like a formation.
So write me a new contract.
Yep, there's an amendment. There has to be new consideration for that.
Okay.
It's not any different than when large employers used to change their handbooks, and they'd have you sign every year. Mm-hmm. You know that the handbook was new or whatever.
Right.
They'd give you a candy bar. Or they would take you out for lunch, or they would do something else for that consideration piece to have you modify what the agreement was, so that you have a, because you need three parts of the contract, right? You need the parties, mm-hmm. you need to have an agreement, and then you need to have some sort of consideration for that agreement to make it binding.
So if that hasn't been done and they're just simply coming along and saying, get vaccinated, or you're no longer going to be working here, you've got a pretty good case to go against them.
Exactly. You've got a good ability to say breach contract on their part and they pay up, and you have damages. I've got a case right now which is really interesting. A large employer brought on an employee, paid them a $15,000 fee, basically to move them here, mm-hmm. and then during COVID, and they had a written contract of what their compensation was going to be. During COVID, they reduced their salary by 15%, mm-hmm. and my client basically continued to work there until he found a new job, and he left. Because they changed the terms of the contract. Now they want their $15,000 back because he wasn't there a year.
Shouldn't
and I'm saying...
You shouldn't have changed it, folks.
I'm saying you violated what you agreed to, and...
it's all null and void. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, and you're the breaching party, not
right.
him.
See ya.
So that's going to be interesting because it's in litigation right now, and it'll be an interesting discussion to have with the district court judge about it.
Was it part of the initial contract that you must be here a year to retain that $15,000?
Correct, and that they would pay him X amount of dollars for that year.
So they breached it by not paying X amount
of
dollars.
And then they reduced it because
okay.
of COVID.
Yeah.
So I would think any rational juror or any rational judge would say, well, what is he supposed to do? Is he supposed to? And the reduction was more than the $15,000 that they paid him for. That's the other part.
Well, and besides which, let's face it, that was to move you here. That was necessary to – we have displaced – displaced you from one part of the country to mm-hmm. another part of the country, and now you're making a lot less money while here.
Well,
I don't think they have it. I don't think they have any leg to stand
on. I wouldn't think so either, but it's the same sort of analysis with this issue. Is you're adding additional terms to the agreement. And so with those additional terms, you've got to have additional compensation mm-hmm. or some sort of consideration so that you agree and then there's something to bind it. Because if there's not, then I think then it's a unilateral breach on the parties that's asking for that additional term, especially a term like the vaccination or something like that.
How does it affect these kind of contracts when you have a national emergency? John and I don't really consider COVID to be a national
right.
emergency, but it's been declared one. So how does that affect it? I mean, can the business say, look, this came down on all of us. This is like a hurricane that hit mm-hmm. the city. That affects everything we do. How does that
certainly
does that protect the business at all?
No, not really. Not when you have an individual contract with another party.
Okay.
Unless there's some sort of act of God or something else that is in the, you know, we've got insurance contracts that talk about that. There are certain things that are covered in an insurance contract. This sort of thing may not be. For a business interruption policy, for example, most likely people aren't going to be able to make a claim because the pandemic occurred mm-hmm. because it's an act of God, right? I mean, that's what the insurance right. companies would say.
Well, that's what I was thinking for the business.
Right, but
now, by the way, I agree with you. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Right, no, I understand. But, I mean, for the business, I think that they would have to have something in the contract to get an out for them. And if there's nothing, if it's silent relating to that,
yeah.
then it's assuming that it's mm-hmm. a normal. And you know what? Not all businesses did poorly during this time.
Right. Some did well.
Some did really well.
Right.
Some of the ones that were able to, you know, make some switches on the fly or be able to handle the technology.
Okay.
I mean, it's one of those things where you can't universally. That's the interesting thing about jury trials that we've had within the last 6 months. I was doing jury trials in some jurisdictions where other jurisdictions were saying it was too dangerous. Mm-hmm. And my argument to one jurisdiction after I had just done a jury trial the week before in another jurisdiction was, well, how is it dangerous here when you're right. in the same,
right.
you're in Tri-County Health and they're allowing Arapahoe County to do this and Adams County is saying it's too dangerous to do. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
It's a very smart virus.
It is a very smart virus.
All right, Charlie just typed in, we'll think about this one through the break and we'll answer this when we come back. Can business owners file a class action lawsuit for damages yeah. against the state? We'll answer that as soon as we come back, along with pictures of vaccination cards and so on social media. We'll get into that as well. So Kevin's up next, Flesh and Beck Law Firm. Any questions, by the way, outside of this, some of the things he just mentioned, if you have issues going on where you need some help on some of these legal things that might be happening in your world, be sure to call Kevin, 303-806-8886. Or again, find him at fleshlawfirm.com, and it's F-L-E-S-C-H.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
All right, speaking of your rights, folks, a good shop who is a body shop, collision center, will fix your vehicle. And, yeah, you have control over where your vehicle goes. And by the way, folks, that means even if you're on the south end of town and they're on the north end of town, but you want them to fix your car, it can go to the north end of town and get fixed. Now, you may have to absorb some tow costs to get all that done, but typically that can be worked out in your claim as well. If you really want them to work on it for you, you can get that done. Just call them today and find out how to make all that happen. 720-541-7697 or klzradio.com.
Al and his team at A Good Shop advocate for you behind the scenes so you can live your life. You may not understand the complicated details of your auto body insurance claim. You just want your vehicle back to pre-accident condition in a reasonable amount of time. Once you drop off your vehicle at A Good Shop, they will take it from there as you are updated throughout the repair process. Al and Jamie Sturm earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others so they can provide the parts recommended by your vehicle's manufacturer.
They will work with your insurance company to replace parts that are best for your vehicle. A good shop wants to fix your vehicle right, so they contact parts suppliers so your insurance dollars stretch even further. Meanwhile, you keep living your life. A good shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/collision for $100 off your repairs.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, of course, our engineer, and Kevin Flesh with us, Flesh Law Firm. Our legal eagle, our attorney that is sits in with us on a periodic basis, appreciating him taking time out of his day to do so. Okay, so I left off that last segment with, can businesses sue in a class action lawsuit the state for damages in what's happened?
No.
Probably not, because it's a national emergency.
Yeah, not only that, but the state generally for a tort, because that's really what you're going to be
suing them
for. Yep, you're going to be suing them for negligence, for some sort of...
Go prove that.
We can't in the Governmental Immunity Act.
Right, because they're absolved from that, right?
Exactly. Exactly. You're not going to be able to get anything there. No. I mean, you're going to... I suppose...
Could you sue a Tri-County Health instead of the state?
Nope, they're still a government agency.
Still same thing?
Yep, they're still considered a government agency. And there's no exemption. So the Governmental Immunity Act allows the state to be sued, but it's a very there's very few things that it can be sued for. And you've got to follow the statute because... when you're king, you can put in laws that cause, and there's some rationale. I say that flippantly.
Next year's taxpayers are the ones on the hook for
correct.
That.
Correct. You and I are going to be paying for it in the event, and they do a lot of dumb things.
Right.
And
they already pay out enough dumb stuff.
Right. That's exactly right. And there's plenty of opportunity. I mean, I do quite a few cases throughout the year, premises liability cases that are Governmental Immunity Act, where they're not taking care of sidewalks or not shoveling. It's really shoveling snow and ice and maintaining sort of those sorts of things. I've got one now that's an interesting case down in downtown Denver with they had actually started working on the street and left a large portion of the street open. They had cut it out, and there was about a 6-inch dip onto sand and gravel right along a bike path. And it's, of course, everybody wants you to be using some sort of alternative, you know, like scooters and other things. And I've got a client that's riding her scooter in the bike lane and hits that and flips. I mean,
ouch.
And so that's, you normally can't get it for maintenance of a roadway.
That's different,
except
though.
This is different because they were, and they didn't have
turned
any.
It apart. No
didn't
signs,
have any,
no nothing.
Nothing. No. Those pictures are. So but that sort of situation where you're trying to make a claim, especially during the pandemic, I mean, you're not going to get a jury trial, a jury to say that the government is going to be responsible for that. Because if they did, it's the same argument with the, I wish it wasn't true, but it's the same argument with folks that rent out for apartment buildings and things like that. The government, the only thing the government is going to be doing is giving out some sort of more money to real property owners, and I don't see that happening. Unfortunately, the real property owners in this state and throughout the nation are just out of luck because the politicians have made the decision that renters are more important than those individuals.
Than the landlords, than the property owners.
Because there's more of them. More votes.
More votes.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's easier to feed them cake than it is the real property owners.
Yeah. All right, next question, which Charlie's asking, by the way. Pictures of your vaccinated... card. So you've got your vaccine card, and there's folks out there that are posting these things all over social media and places like that. What is your advice?
Yeah, don't do it. I mean, you've got your date of birth on, at least my card does. You've got your name and date of birth and potentially other information about who you are. Don't do it, because that'll be taken by folks that will use it for their benefit.
It's already dark web, folks. We don't need to feed them.
Exactly.
Right?
There's enough ways for them to get... I mean, if they didn't have... your date of birth. I mean, you can do a lot with the person's date of birth.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Well, that's one of your proofs of ID.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, it's one of the first things you go and you start running credit reports and things like that they ask for is, you know, Social Security number, Fast 4, and what's your date of birth.
Date of birth.
You have those things and off you go.
Yep. So in Colorado, I can go with your name and date of birth. I can go get your criminal background check. A lot of times I can then go to cases that I can then go to a case file in any of the metro area and look up the summons. And all of a sudden, I can get your driver's license, which then I can go to DMV and get your driving history and get information relating to where you live and everything else. It's that simple. And it all starts from a date of birth.
So don't give it out, folks.
Don't give it out.
Do not put... I mean,
all legal ways. I mean,
nothing illegal.
No, nothing at all.
If you want to put it out there, I guess, you know, more power to you. But my advice would be put as little on social media as you possibly can, yeah. including, I'd go as far as say this, including, you see all these little insignias around Facebook, you know, faces and so on, where I've been vaccinated. Folks, I wouldn't do any of that.
No, yeah.
I'm sorry, it's just nobody's business. No. Even if you get vaccinated, I would not be promoting that.
Yeah.
That's just my advice
to
you.
No, completely
all.
Agree with you.
Just keep that to yourself.
Yep.
People do not need to know some of those things, period. Now or in the future, by the way.
It's the culture we're living in, though.
We share lots.
Just get rid of your date of birth.
We and,
or change your name. Doesn't all have to be true. Just do something different to it.
We share far too much, by the way. So anyways, those are things that, that you should not be doing. So I want to make sure that we're clear on everything we've kind of go ahead.
Yeah, and
go
with ahead. That, you know, I've heard some chatter about HIPAA laws as well, the
right.
Federal Health Information Act. And you know, HIPAA applies to medical providers providing medical records to third parties.
Right.
And that's really important. We deal with HIPAA regulations all the time in the personal injury cases and what medical providers provide us, and we have to have releases and all of those right. things. But when you're not one of those individuals, then it doesn't apply
to
you.
You're just Joe Schmo.
Right.
King and, Supers.
Yep, exactly. I mean, it's your own data. I mean, that's what people are doing with
right.
throwing it up on the web. I mean,
that's dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, it goes back to a lot of people have said, well, King Supers can't ask for your proof of a vaccine because that violates HIPAA. Well, no, it doesn't. Folks.
No, they're asking you directly. And it's privileged information.
It is. And you can say no. We've talked
correct.
About that earlier.
Yep.
You can still say no.
That's exactly right.
But they can ask.
Yes.
I just want to make sure I'm clear on that because
yep.
a lot of folks say, well, they can't even ask. Well,
no, they can
actually.
And they can take no answer as a reason to deny service.
Correct.
Because they can deny the service for any other reason.
Yes.
Right.
Yep, that's right. That's right. And the question is that fair? Well, it goes back to our stand. I mean, that's a conservative principle, right? You've got a private
yes.
citizen that's asking you. I mean, there's lots of times where you don't have to provide that information.
Basically, what it comes down to is this. Those who do not want to be vaccinated have absolutely no rights whatsoever anywhere. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's kind of what I'm – and I'm not saying that bitterly. I'm saying that I understand the rights of businesses. I get all that, okay? But it just sounds to me like if you don't want to get vaccinated – we are very quickly coming to a time in this country where there are going to be two classes of people, and you are now going to be in the lower class, and you have absolutely no rights whatsoever, and people can just flat out discriminate against you based on that, and they have, and you have no recourse.
I think that's what's happening right now, but I think the market is going to clear some of that. I mean, who would have
that's
thought?
That's the market, but not the legal system. You have no recourse.
No, you don't have any recourse, but you're going to have other places in the market. Trader Joe's is a good example. Who would have ever expected them to say, we'll get rid of masks and we're not asking you if you've been vaccinated? I mean, there are going to be businesses out there that are going to take advantage of this and say, we don't care.
We just
come
want
on
business.
In. Yeah. Democrat, Republican, you all spend money. Come on in. I mean,
right.
that's.
And a smart and, business, by the way, would do that.
Right. And we'll see who the smart ones are. I mean, I think I would hope we would, because if you stop enough people stop going to Kroger if they're asking you to wear a mask and you start going to Walmart because they're not. You know, that's going to we're going to see that.
Basically, we're hoping for the market to correct what the legal system will not, because the legal system protects is in
well, what,
this case
well,
the legal
and,
system is flat out protecting discrimination.
Well, hold on. What do you what's the legal system doing?
Well, it's doing nothing because it can't. I'm not saying it should be able to. I'm saying it literally can't.
Well, but the opposite would be true if you were a business that said
the true is also true of businesses. You've got employees right now who are saying, "Look, I don't want to be vaccinated.
Right.
I don't trust this." And they are now becoming very quickly, this is happening right now, right out that window, it's happening. They are becoming a lower class of individual and employees. They are becoming endangered. There are employers out there right now who are saying,
yes.
I can throw you out the door
yes,
because
Andy.
Of this.
Yes, and by the way, I don't want to change that.
I'm not saying we should. I'm saying this is a scary thing.
Well, but I think the market, we see that unemployment, they can't find enough. I mean, restaurants can't find enough warm bodies to.
Yeah, I don't see that being a huge issue. Maybe some industries it will be, but by and large, I don't see that being a big
yeah.
issue.
So what's the
it's
alternative?
A big issue for some people I know.
No, right. But what's
well,
the alternative?
It may be for some, but it's not going to be by and large, I don't think.
But what's the alternative? Then you're saying that they shouldn't.
Have the right to do so?
Or that there's some.
I wish there was some sort of protection for the unvaccinated. I do wish there was some sort of law and legal. I know there isn't any. There won't be any. It's not going to happen. It'll never happen. They're screwed. I get it, okay? I just wish there was some sort of protection somewhere, somehow, for the unvaccinated because, guys, we don't know if this vaccine, you know, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, never have been, we don't know.
I know. I get
if
it.
6-12 months down the road,
let me throw this at
dangerous.
You. If you were a business that required all of your people coming in the door to be masked, or let me say it the other way.
And I'm not denying the right of a business to say that.
If you were a business that said you can't enter with a mask, only non-mask people can come in, we'd say that's okay as well.
Yes, of course.
Right.
But we both know that the Karens are all on one side of the aisle. It is only the people who are requiring masks who are making those kinds of requirements. Nobody is making the requirement that you can't wear a mask. So that's irrelevant. That's a nice, you know, gee, what if? But it's irrelevant because it's happening 0% of the time. So my concern is this. We're creating two classes of people right now in our society.
And you're saying that you want to protect the one class that says, I don't want a vaccine, right?
Yeah, I wish that they, I just wish, I'm not saying there's any way it can be done. I understand. They're screwed. But I'm just saying, I wish they weren't.
No, I understand.
That's all I'm saying.
But let's talk about, I agree with your premise that you want them to be on an even playing field. What mechanism do you set up so that that doesn't happen? You just outright, basically make it illegal to ask, right? Well, it's kind of like the pregnancy question when you first are hiring an employee.
Well, really quick here, Florida put, you know, said flat out, you cannot demand, you know, vaccine passports. You cannot do this. And so in Florida, they did put in that kind of protection, and businesses flat out will not ask if you've been vaccinated. They won't, they can have a $5,000 fine.
Okay, so that's what you're looking for in Colorado.
Well, yeah, it's never going to happen here. We have Polis. But I just wish, you know, obviously we have a governor who does not care about me, okay, as a person. And I'm just going to say that, okay?
Well, sure.
Any
because I'm free to say
I'll
that.
I'll go one thing step further.
Right. No, I agree
okay,
with you.
Okay, so,
what you're saying.
But in Florida, I guess I just wish that we had what they have in Florida. I wish it was nationwide, which, again, Biden is nationwide, so that'll never happen.
Comes back to
all right,
elections.
Joe, you're on the phone. What's going on, sir?
Well, I'm in Colorado, so you can't call me Jersey Joe.
Nice.
Today, so.
Colorado Joe.
Howdy. Colorado Joe.
Colorado Joe today for the next couple of days. Hey, I had a question for Kevin. I realize it's speculation. He may or may not know, but with the Supreme Court ruling yesterday about warrantless gun seizure, do you see that impacting the red flag law at all?
So, yeah. So I read the opinion, and I think it's a really interesting one because it was a unanimous opinion. I don't think because remember the red flag, they have a hearing about it. This particular case was the officers basically lied and said that they had permission to take the guns, right? And they didn't have any probable cause to take them. And there wasn't a criminal act that was going on. And all of the justices said they understood the community policing, but this went too far. The red flag law is different because you actually have a proceeding before or during the time period that you take the guns, and the officers have gone to a court with some sort of affidavit suggesting that there's probable cause. So I don't see a whole lot of change relating to this opinion and the red flag law.
Yeah, and that was my take. I just wanted to get a professional opinion.
Yeah. Interesting opinion, though, right? All of the justices agreed that police can't go into your home and just pick up your guns and then lie about it.
Yeah.
I was stunned.
That
by
seemed
the
pretty
strict.
That was awesome, actually.
9-0 stunned.
I was,
yeah.
Too. Great.
For different reasons, too.
Right. Somebody had said, had the two issues been split, you would have probably had two different decisions.
Yeah. I mean, it's the classic decision talking about the First Amendment. We don't, you know, the justices in a case a long time ago said, well, we don't know what obscenity is, but we know it when we see it. And I think this case said the same thing. It's like police actions can go just so far, and we know that bright line test where they've gone too far, and this is that case. So I don't know if you can gain a whole lot from it.
All right. Well, then one more. Ninth Circuit a couple of months ago said California's magazine capacity ban was unconstitutional,
yep.
But that only applies to the states covered by the Ninth Circuit, which unfortunately Colorado's not one.
Right.
What has to happen for that opinion to be challenged or decided either nationally or in Colorado?
Yep, it has to go up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has to take it and make a decision and make it the law of the land. So it is not precedent in the Tenth Circuit where we're at. Until somebody brings the same issue here and the Court of Appeals.
Until somebody starts a lawsuit. Yep.
Right. The Court of Appeals in the Tenth Circuit says
maybe we should
follow it. Yeah. But that's what needs to happen. And it is. I mean, it's going to happen.
And we lost Joe. But yeah, answered your question, I believe, Joe.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers, get your free mortgage review now, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Folks, we are now in the midst of hail season. Yes, we get all these different things in Colorado, from wind to hail to snow to, you know, you name it. We can get all the weather conditions, and by the way, we can get all that in one day. But here in Colorado, make sure that your roof is in top working order, and there's lots of things changing when it comes to your roof. And what I would tell you to do is just call Dave from RoofMax. Have him come out, take a look at your roof, give a free inspection, and find out what's needed, what he can do for you, and where you're at. And by the way, he can even look at your policy, your insurance policy, and tell you what you are, in fact, covered for or not covered for. So call Dave today, 303-710-6916. That's RoofMax, 303-710-6916.
Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it with RoofMax. The cost of asphalt roofing products has already gone up 20% and will likely go up another 20 to 25% this summer. To make matters worse, it's getting harder to find quality contractors, which means the cost of labor has gone up recently. As roof replacements become more and more expensive, roofing companies will start passing along that cost to their customers. Roof rejuvenation with RoofMax could save you up to 85% by adding years of performance to your asphalt roofing. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to three applications every 5 years, RoofMax could help your roof last up to 15 years longer. Call Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916. That's 303-710-6916.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, our engineer, and, of course, Kevin Flesh, Flesh Law Firm, joining us now, as he has on occasion, today being one of those where we just sort of last minute grabbed him and said, hey, can you join us on, you know, one day this week? Tuesday happened to be the best day, so I'm glad he was able to do
so. Very fun. Fun topics.
It's always a short amount of time where I just can't break any laws. I have to be so careful. Well, Kevin,
don't
is
we
here.
All? Right?
Yeah.
By the way, Richard did send me a text message that is interesting. There are some bars in the South, not in Colorado, but there are some bars in the South that are not letting you enter if you have a mask on.
Yep.
So there are some places in the country that are starting to shift gears that way.
I had heard about that, like, in response to sort of this mask issue.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Kevin, could you see that happening with businesses like casinos? I managed them for a decade, and it's so important that we can watch on surveillance and see
face
what
movements,
person
right.
took what
right.
ticket
yeah.
and
right.
so forth.
Yeah, great example.
So facial
that's a great idea.
Recognition could become very important for
sure,
some people.
Sure, I would think so. Yeah, I mean, we're seeing it, you know, it's not quite the same, but even in jury trials with witnesses, we've started to put plastic all the way around the witness box so
and
that the witness
can get their mask off.
Yeah,
you can see their expressions that way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that makes total
because
sense.
The first few trials that I did, it was just really hard to gauge.
Because you don't know the personality, what's going on.
Whether
you know.
They're telling the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, makes total sense.
Yeah, so I would think there was going to be some of that, I would think, that people are going to, I would hope. I mean, once we get the, you know, once again, follow the science.
I mean, what about a bank?
Right.
Well, I would think
I mean,
banks
who would have thought
be
we'd be coming into banks
mask
with
off.
Masks on?
I mean, now that we've taken away the mask order. Well, okay. Wouldn't a bank be within their rights to say, we don't want anybody coming in here with a covered face?
See, the problem that we have is it's all politics, and all of the big banks are
political
machines. Mm-hmm. And so right. That's why you're seeing all of the regulations. I mean, I went into Chase Bank today, my bank, and same thing. They've still got their mask mandate up. You know, you got to come in with a mask. I didn't go in with a mask. And I'm good friends with the manager of the branch. He didn't say a darn thing to me. They all have their masks on behind bulletproof
I hate that.
Glass.
I don't understand that one.
But, I mean, I think that there's just going to be some time. But I would agree with that. I would love to see just the opposite because there's going to be outrage. Like, you have outrage about sort of asking for the vaccine. Imagine businesses are like, we don't want you to have a vaccine. Don't get a vaccine.
Well, that would seem kind of extreme. But
why? It's the same argument.
Yeah. I mean,
flip it on its head and you say, we're concerned about the ramifications of you and your body, and we don't think there's enough data on it. We don't want you. Don't get a vaccine. If you get a vaccine, you're fired. Oh. How about that?
Because it's too risky having you around
because it's
too experimental.
I just had two employees on Sunday. They got the second shot. They were both out on Monday, sick. So it causes more absences.
So we don't want you out for an absence.
Yeah, we don't want you out.
And if you have that as well.
If you get it then you're done.
See, and back to what we were talking about in that last segment, which we also have to remember, Andy, is we are only like, I'd have to look up the figures, but Colorado might be a little higher, but nationally, we're only at about 45% or so vaccinated. The others are not. So they are doing everything they possibly can to entice folks to get vaccinated. If all of a sudden people just drop the mask, they start spending money, businesses start lowering their requirements as far as what happens at the front door and so on, you're not going to see that number go much above what it is right now.
Yeah, well, what I don't understand, guys, is what can you do with places like Texas, okay? Because they did not have – they didn't do anything with vaccinations. Now, a good number had been vaccinated, but that's not why they opened everything up. They just dropped the mask orders and said, look, we're past the pandemic.
Yep.
Their numbers went down without their vaccinations going markedly up.
Right.
What do you do with that? So I mean, at some point, don't you just say we don't need this?
And real quick, by the way, so to your point – Colorado's at 41%. Texas is at 32.8%.
And they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
See, so what do you do with that? I mean, can't you just look at, I'm not saying legally, I'm just talking in a debate. Can't you just look at somebody and just say, guys, look at Texas. They have less vaccination, way less masks, and less COVID.
By the way, the national average, 37%.
Oh,
nationally is all, 37%.
So we've got over 100 million who have been vaccinated.
Correct.
Just about, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And I agree with you. That's the whole debate about the politicalization of this pandemic. I think that's what, I mean, because people, you lose faith in what people are saying, don't you? I mean, even if you believed at the beginning, and that's the conversation that I'm trying to have with some folks that are more liberally bent in my world is, all right, I hear what you're saying. I understand what you were giving me a hard time about. You were showing me all these things that were contrary to the studies that I had and everything else. But you have to admit that there's politics going on when you get these sorts of changes in policy within 10 days. And it's and the people come out and specifically say, essentially, we're trying to control what you do.
Okay, let me ask you this, because your world is a highly educated world, and you're dealing
theoretically.
With... Theoretically. Yeah, ideally.
Yeah.
I'm being nice here.
Good answer.
Okay, so your world is supposedly, allegedly, a highly educated world. Are you finding that the liberals, even in that world, have only been listening to one side?
Yes, completely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's true with our listeners.
And they would say, they're going to discount Texas and the other Republic, Florida, the Neanderthals. They're going to call them names.
How do they discount them?
But numbers are numbers.
I know, but they've never looked at the numbers. So what's another number?
Okay, what if I tell you the numbers? Here are the numbers. Do you just
say, you're full of it.
Pulling my leg.
Yeah. You're making that up.
And my answer back to them is, no, you can go to Google,
right?
And they're right there.
You can go to the CDC website.
Mm-hmm.
They have the studies there that they could look at and say, oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, I've tried all of that. And that's where I'm saying it comes back to this sort of faith argument that there are some people that just they want to believe a certain way because that's what they want to believe. I mean, that's the system, that the sort of tribal system we're in when it comes to politics. And that's what I feel like is going on to some degree. I mean, why else would a person that has said all the way along that they follow the CDC advice continue to wear masks after they're vaccinated when the CDC says now that you don't have to?
Don't do so.
Why else? It's either fear or some other reason that they want to feel superior.
I don't know. I think there is some, and Andy and I have talked about this some on air, Kevin, and I do think that there is some, and we're going to talk about this tomorrow, by the way. I've got a special guest joining us in the 3 o'clock hour talking about the psychological side of this and why certain people are still wearing masks and doing some of the things that they're doing, whether they've been vaccinated or not. And a lot of this does come down to their psyche and, in a way, what they've been trained to do.
Yep. And it's habit. Point. I think there's a fair amount of habituality to it.
Isn't it also just the feeling of control, controlling those around you, the enjoyment of knowing that I can make others around me act like me? It doesn't matter if all I want to do is wear a pink shirt and make everybody around me wear a pink shirt. Now we're a gang.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something about the feeling for maskers knowing that we can pressure and peer pressure others to wear them.
Yeah, the conformity aspect of it. I think there's people are really fearful of not conforming.
But I see that starting to go away.
Yeah.
In fact, my prediction will be every day that goes by, I don't know about nationally, but here in Colorado, every day that goes by when you start walking into some of these places that have relaxed those mandates, the Home Depots and so on, every day you go in and you see less and less people walking around with them on, you're going to see less and less people coming in with them. Now, the employees may still be required to wear a mask. And by the way, that is up to the employer themselves as to what they require their employees to do, just like any other quote-unquote safety item that is required in the job, whether that be everything from hard hats to safety glasses to aprons to steel-toed boots to you name it. If they require it, you've got to wear it.
Yeah, and in fact, just a personal note, on Monday, all of my staff was in, and I told everybody, no masks. If you want to wear them, that's fine, but I'm not requiring you to wear them at this point. And my receptionist said, no, I'm going to continue to wear it. I said, that's fine.
Yeah, it's
absolutely
up to you.
And you know what? More power to you.
And that should have been that way from the get-go.
It should have been.
It's your personal choice as to what you want to do, whether you want to wear a mask or not.
And now people are now people don't know what to do. That's the sad part of it. We don't have the leadership, both at the state level and the national level, to really lead people. Because if we had good leaders relating to that, they'd know what the expectation was. But now they've left everybody, they've always passed the buck off to the next contributor, unfortunately, and people just don't know what to do.
See, and the other mistake I think we've made in all of this, which we and Andy and I have touched on this a little bit in the past, we really haven't got into great detail, but we probably need to, and even probably get some experts on to talk about the science of the antibodies, because there also is some stories out there that if you've got antibodies, you really shouldn't even get a vaccine within a certain amount of time of those antibodies may be diminishing. And that's the other thing. We don't know how long the antibodies actually hang around. Do they last 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year, 3 years? We really have no idea at this point.
Right. That, to me, is the legal jeopardy you put yourself in when you require this, because it's too early. We don't know how this affects you 6, 12, 18 months out. We only know that, very few people have an initial reaction.
I agree.
But some do, by the way.
Some have it right away.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
That's why you have to sit in your... Well, I got mine in my car, so I went through...
Over the drive-thru?
Yeah, the drive-thru, and they make you sit in the parking lot for 15 minutes.
Make sure you don't have any adverse reaction or anything like that. Yeah.
Instantaneously.
And by and large, most probably won't, but there will be some of those that actually do. And again, I'm still one that says if you've got antibodies, you can prove it. By the way, the best way to prove whether you've got antibodies or not, this to me is the only foolproof test out there, is go give blood, which, by the way, they can always use that anyway. So go donate blood, and you will know typically within about 10 days to 2 weeks after giving blood whether or not you have the antibodies or not, because, in fact, they may even call you on the phone saying, if you've got antibodies, we want your plasma, because it helps those that are sick.
Yep.
Well, maybe you could just cough on people and see how it goes. Just watch them for a week.
What's interesting is there are those of us that have been around lots of people that have had COVID, Andy, you and I being two of those individuals, where we've been around lots of people with COVID and somehow, some way, have left unscathed.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah. And that's what Charlie and I were talking about that at the break, too. I think there's just some DNA. There's some folks in their DNA are just set up that you're more resilient in that regard.
You're just going
to fight. Relating
to
this virus. Yeah. Either you don't fight as much, or there's something in your body chemistry that is not as big
so,
a deal.
I guess
I think it's because I'm too charming.
And going a little further here, That's where I think we need more testing to know if there are individuals like that. Then why are we requiring them to change anything chemically in their body whatsoever? If they've already got the natural ability to fight it, why do we want to alter that? So I'm one that says, if I'm that guy, which, by the way, I think I am, if I'm that guy, why would I want to alter what I've already got going on in my own immune system by having a vaccine when I'm already able to fight it all off on my own? Why would I want to change that? And until we get more data and have more people, you know, tested like me and others that have fought this really, really well,
why are we doing it?
Some of us need to pass, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. And we're not doing it that way. We're doing a one-size-fits-all, which I hate.
Yeah, because the other is too complex.
I mean, the bottom...
I mean, that requires science.
Yeah. And
a real science.
And more individual decision-making.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the bottom line is the science is too new. The numbers are plummeting. We shouldn't be requiring.
Well, I think... Frankly,
there's a slogan there.
My own gut feeling is, in about 6 weeks, if not, you know, 4th of July, Andy, at the latest.
Agreed.
I don't think this is a topic anymore.
No, I would agree with you.
I don't think it's history.
We may be talking about that lonely Karen that's trying to, you know, force his or her opinion upon a particular person inside of a particular, you know, place of business or what have you. My prediction even is the FAA makes changes even before fall on airplanes. Because they've got to get airline travel and tourism back up. They have no choice.
Oh, that's true. Well, what about coming into summer?
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, you need airline travel humming.
You need it full capacity. You need jets fully loaded.
Yeah.
As much as you possibly can. And by the way, you're not doing that with a mask mandate in a lot of cases. There's a lot of people that just will not get on that airplane, especially if they've got young children. Yep. They're not going to get on that airplane with young children because of all of the stories we hear daily almost. I mean, I read a story today where the head, this almost cracked me up. The head of the airline, or no, the head of the FAA is flabbergasted by the amount of altercations that he has seen inside of airports and airlines. And I'm thinking to myself, are you that dumb?
Right.
You're really that much of a numbskull where you can't see that what you've done in requiring the masks on 2-, 3-, 4-year-olds, whatever the case may be, you are that dumb to not be able to figure out that you have created these altercations all by yourself, Mr. FAA? Yeah. Are you really that stupid?
When you pit people against each other, why are you surprised when they're against each other?
I couldn't believe what I read today.
Yeah. And then have them in a small space for a couple hours at a time.
Good point.
Yeah. It's just, because I heard the same reports in like one person on a flight got a fine of $52,000. Yes. What can you do on a flight that you now are fined?
Well, that guy tried to open the door.
Oh, while in flight? Bad.
Yeah, that was a different deal. Okay. That wasn't a COVID thing. That guy got fined for like $55,000 because he tried to open the emergency door in flight. So, that probably
qualifies. Here's a question. If he made it out on the wing, would he be required to wear a mask? Mask usage on the wing.
I think he probably would have gotten his fine taken care of if he had a mask on the wing.
Anyways, you guys can go look that up for yourselves. I should have had that in front of me, but Kevin read the same thing. But it's there. The head of the FAA is like, I can't believe we're having all these conflicts. It's like you're that much of a numbskull that you don't realize the policies you've put into place are creating conflict everywhere, and that's why these things are breaking out all over the place. And by the way, on top of that, let's add to that fact that we've got stewards. We can't call them stewardesses anymore. Oh, no. So flight attendants, I guess you could say. We've actually got flight attendants and probably even some pilots that have no common sense whatsoever, that don't have the ability to look at a 2-year-old that it just isn't going to wear the mask, period. So why are we fighting this? We might as well just let them get on the plane, get where they want to go. Let's minimize the situation. Let's diffuse it as much as we can. And let's get where we need to go because nobody else on the plane cares anyways. But instead, we've got these mask Nazis that are flying around as flight attendants that will not let that 2-year-old fly without one. And they're going to, you know, come hell or high water, they're going to make sure that kid wears one.
Right.
Yeah. Therein lies another problem we have.
Huge.
Right? Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we've got the FAA saying, I can't believe this is happening.
Right.
You dummy, you're the one that's created this.
Right. And it's like you said, I think 6-8 weeks from now, it'll be a different story, and hopefully things will level out in the sense of, I mean, we're seeing. So, I mean, all of these politicians in Colorado have just said, go ahead and do whatever you want, and then you've got these issues. Well, hopefully it'll continue with the FAA saying, we'll follow the CDC guidelines, things are fine, and we'll get rid of some of this angst between the staff and flight folks that are on the flights. We'll have to wait
and see. And I think that's eventually, yeah. I don't think we're that far away from that, frankly. No. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think we are.
Well, there's no
political... I think you just want to get on flights and start fights for
there's
fun.
There's no political gain for them to continue this.
No, there's not at this point. Right. You're correct. In fact... if they really, again, back to our comment a moment ago, if they really want to get things back up and rolling, get these airlines back on track like they need to and get airplanes full again, they need to just head that direction and be done with it. So, all right, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll come right back. Novus Auto Glass is up next. And by the way, you can get your free windshield Band-Aid, I should say, from Novus. Just go to klzradio.com, click on the Novus link, fill out the form, and we'll send you those Band-Aids. It's that simple. You can also find a location near you by going to rushtoreason.com, the website, and just go to the Novus link, click it, and you'll find a location near you. Again, rushtoreason.com/Novus.
As the inventor of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass saves you money by repairing chips and cracks whenever possible. With their patented glass repair technology, Novus can tackle tougher cracks than the competition. In some cases, they can repair cracks up to a foot long, but you have a much better chance at a repair by acting fast. Something as simple as going through a car wash could make your little chip or crack irreparable. For KLZ listeners only, Novus will send you a packet of protective windshield stickers for free. Little pieces of specially designed tape to cover any chips or cracks as soon as they appear, like a bandage for your glass. Request your free windshield patches now at klzradio.com/glass. No matter what sort of damage you're dealing with, there's never any risk with a Novus repair. Should your windshield repair fail, they will credit the cost toward a replacement. klzradio.com/glass.
All right, folks, don't forget, Cooper Tires at Cost as well at Extreme Auto Repair. So if you're in the south end of town and you need help along those lines, that's what they do. They're there to help you with that, plus everything else your vehicle needs. And by the way, you can go to the klzradio.com and then go to the Extreme link right there on the web on the website, the klzradio.com website, and you'll receive free wiper blades and or a tire rotation for filling out that form. So go do that today. Again, klzradio.com.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Choose an agent that represents you, not the insurance company. Call Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts, an independent insurance broker, for a complimentary analysis of your current insurance plans. 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we are back. Craig from Wheat Ridge, you've got 1 minute exactly. Go for it, sir.
Okay, I'll go. Don't you find it just a bit odd that cities like New York City have to incentivize getting the vaccine through free French fries, or the state of Ohio giving you a lottery number to participate in a lottery for $1 million to get yourself vaccinated?
Yes, I do. Which we talked about during the break, you guys couldn't hear, but really I feel like the side that's on that side that's really trying to promote all that we've talked about throughout this last hour and a half or so, their ammunition is out. There's no bullets left in the gun. They just fired their last bullet on Friday when they said if you have a vaccine, no mask. If you don't have a vaccine, you should wear a mask. Their bullets are gone, Craig. They're done. This thing is winding down, and they've got no ammunition left as far as I'm concerned.
Good. Hopefully at the end of the road here in the next election.
I
hope.
I think.
Because I think if you can't compel people to do this under these circumstances, that means that they're not hearing your message.
Exactly.
That they've tuned out.
And we'll
be
selling vaccines around the world now because we still have 200 million of them left. We do.
That's exactly right.
Oh, yeah, there's money to be made, and they're talking about boosters, and they don't know how long these
right
the people
right.
have vaccines that need boosters. So, yeah, there's money to be made.
That's right. That's right. Craig, I'll let you go. Good comment, by the way. And he's right. It's hard for anybody right now for the government even to incentivize the others that don't want to get a vaccine. Wait till they start paying you, folks. That'll be next. Mark my word. You'll be getting some sort of an incentive check to actually go get a vaccine because that'll be the last ammunition they try to shoot
That's
out of the gun. But it's weak at that point. So, all right, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Health and Wellness Wednesday. In the first hour, we are going to talk about the psychological effects of these masks and all these things that are now opening up. We'll get into that tomorrow. If you missed the first hour, it's next. Kevin, thanks. Andy,
thank you.
As always, thanks. Charlie, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.